This week on It's So Bad, a nightmare comes true as we play Deja Vu, the first point-and-click adventure game we're going to add to our endless list here on It's So Bad. Welcome, Chris, to the podcast.
Mike, hello. Good
You're
to
back.
See you again.
It's been a while. We were off.
Like 3 weeks.
Off for 2 weeks. So, you know, we apologize to our listeners. I had strep throat, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, it's debilitating.
We had people who were hungover. What else happened? There was a bunch of stuff that happened. Oh, it was like 120 degrees out. And one of our podcast hosts decided to play 7 games of softball in those 2 days. He's alive, but that was weird. And also, why did you do that?
Yeah, nothing says, no, let's be clear, not me. It was not me. Just, I think in the context of the way you just said it there, sounded like it was me.
Yes. That was a general why did you
yes.
to the general you.
Yeah, doing anything outside during that heat wave the other weekend was just a foolish venture.
That was fun. But yes, we are here today to talk about a game. You can subscribe to our podcast. It's So Bad on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from. We are adding Deja Vu this week to our endless list. And what is our endless list? It's a list of games. It goes currently from Super Mario 64 all the way down to Pro Wrestling for the Sega Master System. There are 40 games on the list. Each week we add a new game. We judge it by a lot of metrics, how innovative it was for its time, how good of a game it is, how good the graphics were, how good the sound is, if it had a legacy in games, whatever else we think about when we decide the list. It is entirely arbitrary and subjective, but also entirely objective and full of science, this list. But yes, we are adding Deja Vu this week to the list. And what is Deja Vu, Mr. Chris?
Well, simply put, it's a hard-boiled detective point-and-click adventure game.
Oh, that's excellent.
Yeah.
I like that
there
line.
There you go.
Yeah, it is. Came out in 1985 for the Macintosh computer. Would be ported to the NES, which I think is where it's most popularly known currently, in 1990. And this game probably would be good if you like the games on the NES, like Shadowgate, or on Macintosh, Shadowgate, Uninvited, Maniac Mansion, King's Quest V, which are the King's Quest series, but King's Quest V, which is on the NES. But Chris, what is your history with this game?
So I actually didn't play this. Well, no, I take it back. I did play the old Macintosh version when I was a kid, because I actually had an old Macintosh computer.
Really?
It was on there. I had a Mac Plus or Mac SE 2, whatever those monochrome ones were from like the in like the 80s.
I have no idea about anything PC or Macintosh related from back in the day. Like, you can tell me things and I'll be like, okay.
Yep. Yeah, I had one of those, and I think I played it on that through like a freeware disc or something like that that I probably got from like a
copied
something like
version
that.
Of something.
But it was probably just grabbing like whatever I could get. But I never played it all that much because I think as a kid I found point-and-click games to be on the boring side. But I actually just recently played Deja Vu for the first time and the full way through about a couple years ago, because I actually really like, I actually listen to like a lot of like old-time radio, like pulp radio shows. And like,
you do?
I do.
Like new ones or old ones?
No, old ones.
Like, Where do you find these?
They're all like public domains, like they're fairly easy to find. Like,
interesting.
They're like, there's a whole bunch of apps that just do like old time radio programs. So like, it's like really cool to listen to like The Saint, which had like Vincent Price as like one of his first big roles.
Yeah,
or The Shadow, when like Orson Welles is playing The Shadow.
Interesting.
And so I've always just kind of had like, I always just kind of had been enjoyed like that sort of style of media, be it radio, movie, whatever. So I figured I would try that game, and I liked it.
Interesting. My only experience with old-timey radio was I once went to a showing or a performance of The War of the Worlds that was read live on stage and I fell asleep.
Well, okay. That's a great story.
That happens. So yeah, that's my history. But yes, I do have, I don't think I've even read any hard-boiled detective novels. I've read some Haruki Murakami, which is like a Japanese spins on it.
Yeah.
But no, this is my first experience. I didn't know that deja vu existed back in the day. I think I heard of it, like, because it was advertised in comic books and stuff, but I never put two and two together as to what this game was. But why are we adding this to our list, Chris?
Well, because I asked if you wanted to do an episode on it.
Yes, it is. That's so true. And we don't have a point and click adventure game on our.
That's right. No, like we have. We don't have an old Mac Apple game either.
No. No, we don't. No Macintosh games. I mean, we're primarily going to be talking about the NES version on this.
Is that what you played? Did you play the...
I played the NES version, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Did you play the Macintosh version?
No, I played the NES version, but I thought you were playing...
I tried.
Because remember you were trying to find...
I was trying to emulate it, and it was just hard to emulate Macintosh games. I don't know why it was so hard for me. Like, I was even... that's how I got into, RetroArch? Emulator front end thing. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. Have you ever used that before?
No.
So it looks like a PS3 user interface, and you can just download cores, and the cores are for each different system. Mm. Right from there, you don't have to search anything online. The only thing you have to search for is ROMs. So I was using that, and I was trying to dabble and get into... It's hard with that because it's all controller-based, a lot of it, and you have to like go into the settings to make it keyboard-based.
Gotcha.
So if you want to emulate like a computer, it's tough. So I tried to download and emulate some Macintosh stuff, and I found the ROM, I found the emulator, and this is all illegal what we're talking about. Only do this if you actually own the software, which I do. Dude, yes, I own. Sure, I own the software.
Also, well, you know, I said I owned it. You know, I've let you borrow it.
Yeah,
so.
Sure. So... trying to emulate the Macintosh. I got the Macintosh emulating, and then you have to load it onto from a floppy disk in the emulator, the ROM. And I couldn't figure out how to do it because you have to know command lines. And I was trying to Google it, and I was like, "This is
that's dated. That's back in the day, right there."
It was too much work, so I just decided to load up that NES cart.
Yep. Well, I don't think there is a big difference between the Apple version and the NES version outside of some. Like censorship
it's
issues.
Like, it's graphical stuff mainly.
Yeah, right.
So I think the big difference between the Macintosh version and the NES versions are that you drag and drop a lot of the evidence and stuff.
Right.
And that was a big innovation at the time, I guess, from what I read. The publisher for this was Icom Simulations, or the developer was Icom Simulations. They made the Mac Venture series, which includes Deja Vu, Shadowgate, and Uninvited, which were all Mac Venture games.
Played the, what's the horror-based one? Like the medieval horror one.
Oh, Shadowgate.
Shadowgate. I played that one, too, a little bit.
Uninvited is also horror, I think.
Yeah, but one is like...
Medieval.
Medieval horror, yeah.
I think Shadowgate is the most popular one.
Isn't it just like the most like popular in the sense like it's the rarest and most expensive? One of them is like really expensive.
Uninvited's more expensive, I think, but Shadowgate is pretty well liked.
Yeah, I guess I always thought Deja Vu was the standard bearer of their Mac Venture series, but
maybe of the Mac Venture, but as the NES adventure games. Speaking of which, you can find this game. So we were talking about how it's on the Macintosh. You might have had the Apple IIgs, which was might have been, because that's what also it was on. It was on the Atari ST. It was on the Commodore 64. It was on the Amiga, MS-DOS, Game Boy Color had it, and the second one bundled together. PC 9800 had it, Pocket PC, NES, and then it's recently been ported to Steam, which is a terrible version. I don't encourage anybody. I looked it up. It looks awful.
Is it a port of the NES one?
No, it's like somebody ported the Macintosh version and it's bad port, like a really bad port. Ugh. Like the text and the font looks terrible.
Ugh.
But yeah, so it's on Steam now, and then it's recently been added to PlayStation 4 and Xbox via the 8-Bit Adventure Anthology. So you can get Deja Vu, Shadowgate, and Uninvited together in one PlayStation 4 thing. I don't know if you've ever seen that before.
Nope.
Yeah, so it's recently been added. As we said, this game came out in 1985, the same year on the Apple II that Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego came out.
Oh, what a classic. The educational classic.
The Oregon Trail also came out that year. Those were the big PC games that year. Or not PC, Apple games, I guess. Also that year in the arcades, you had Paperboy, Gradius, Super Mario Brothers came out for the NES, or for the Famicom, not in the U.S. Ghosts and Goblins came out in the arcade. Gauntlet came out in the arcade, as well as Space Harrier. So that was what you're dealing with. So this game is pretty advanced for the time period.
Yep, yeah.
It's very different. I will say, though, it was ported in 1990 to the NES, same year as Maniac Mansion. Mega Man 3 came out that year. Super Mario Bros. 3 came out in North America in 1990. Secret of Monkey Island came out in 1990, which is like a big point-and-click adventure game. Also, King's Quest V came out for the NES. So, this game has a quite a lineage.
It does.
It kind of led the way for a game like Maniac Mansion, which came out a year after it, or 2 years after it. It came out in 1987 for the Apple II. But this game followed in the line of a couple different games, so I don't know if you've ever heard of these games, but in the 1970s, there were a bunch of text adventure games, not graphical adventure games.
Right.
Kind of created the adventure game genre called Colossal Cave Adventure, which was one of the first one, and also Hunt the Wumpus. These were some of the first text adventure games. In the 1980s, Roberta Williams and Sierra Online came out, and they she made a game called Mystery House, which was kind of the first graphical adventure game.
Yeah, I think I heard of that.
And then she made the series King's Quest, which started in 1984. So this is kind of playing off that. But we talk, I think we've brought up this game so many times in the course of the last couple podcasts, but I'm really curious if this game borrows anything from Portopia Serial Murders.
You know, I think I mentioned it in one of the other podcasts, like I'm playing through that now too. And, well, you know, I think, from as far as I've been able to get through, Portopia, so I'm playing, the Famicom version, not like an English patch one. Right. So I'm playing it all in Japanese.
And yeah.
So it takes me a little bit of time to kind of get through it, but while it's similar, I mean, like Portopia was more about like, you know, you're more trying to figure out who the murderer is, and like you're building cases against like different suspects, and you're kind of more like at some point you take them into the station to interrogate them and present them the evidence. There's actual multiple endings in Portopia because you can like you can actually build the case against different, have different people be the killer. So not, I mean, other than just like it kind of again being like, it's not as like, it's not like a hard boiled detective story,
right?
You know, it's more like you know, it takes place essentially in present day when Portopia was released. So I think just other than being like you know, in that crime genre, I don't think they're really too,
not even too the similar menu interfaces or anything like that.
Well, I mean, no, I mean, it, I mean, it's like, how different can you make a menu like that in a game like this, you know?
Right I will say the menu in this game and just the interface for the NES version is unique, and it's interesting, and I don't know if it's good. It's not bad.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think for a point-and-click game on a console, it's kind of like, what can you,
I was
you do?
I was surprised at how intuitive it was on a lot of facets, and how awful it was in a lot of cases. They had, like, for example, so you have a bunch of different options for you to do. You can examine objects, you can open objects, you can use
objects.
Use objects, you can hit objects, and you can use them, you can examine or use them on each other, or like, you know, if you click use, you can do click use the sugar on yourself, and then you'll eat sugar or flour or whatever, and it'll go ick. But there's a lot of different ways you can interact, and there's a screen where you see where you are and what's in the room, and then you can examine stuff in the room or open stuff in the room. So it's, and I thought it was a lot lot better than I expected it to be.
I appreciate how, like, most any combination or any action you take with an item, like, even if it's, like, what you're not intended to do, like, there was some, like, unique dialogue or text,
right,
like, to that reaction. I appreciate, like, little things like that.
Yeah, there's a lot in this game that's very, adds depth, and at the same time, there's not enough, but there's, like, when you're in the bar at the very beginning and you go upstairs to the office, there's pictures on the walls and each of the pictures has something different. And mm-hmm. you learn a little bit about yourself, how you were a boxer, even though you have amnesia. And just to kind of set up the story, because we haven't set up the story, you wake up and you are in a bathroom stall and you have no memory and you have a trench coat and there's stuff inside the trench coat and there's a gun and you have no clue who you are, why you're there, and you have to figure it out, and that's the whole point of the game. And we're gonna get into a lot of spoilers in this.
Well, you know, the game came out a while ago.
Right. You are in 1941 Chicago.
I was just there.
Yeah. You were in Chicago?
Yeah, just a few weeks ago.
What were you doing there?
Just tooling around.
So you're in Chicago. You're on Peoria Street. That might be a street. There's also Sherman. I don't know the other ones. I can't. Kedzie, I think, is one of them.
Okay.
There's a bunch of other streets, but you have to figure shit out. You walk into the office, there's a dead body. You have to figure out what's happening there. There's a couple things that fucked me up on this. So I thought it was very intuitive, the game, like pointing you in the direction that you need to go.
Yeah.
For a lot of it. But if you miss something, you're like fucked.
Yeah. You never like truly stuck. Like even if you try to drop an item that you're going to need, it stops you from doing it.
You can get stuck. So there's a mugger who can steal all your money and then you are fucked.
Yeah. But then can't you get it back though?
I don't know.
I think you have to go back to the casino, and I think you have to, like, essentially gamble your money back.
So I did not know that. So whenever the mugger came, I just hit reset and went back to the prior screen. So one of the good things about this game, and one of the unique things about the NES version, at least, is that you could save on any screen.
Yeah, yeah.
What other NES game do you know where you could save just anywhere?
Wild open world saving like that?
That's crazy. Yeah. That's crazy for an NES game. You can save on literally any screen and then just start over. Also, you can continue as much as you want if you hit a dead end.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, it's a very forgiving game.
Yes. So, but I mean, I got stuck on a couple places because, for example, the guy leaning over the desk who is dead.
Yeah. The guy who is missing something, namely his life.
Yes, that is the screen.
That's the best.
He's like, and then you try to talk to him, and it's like, "What are you doing?"
Yeah. And you can punch him.
Yeah, I didn't try to punch him.
You got to try to punch everything in this game.
Yeah,
it's funny.
You can hit everything, but he's leaning over a desk, and never occurred to me that it was a desk that I could open because the drawers are on the other side, and you can't see the drawers. Oh, so I just missed that.
What a shitty detective you are.
And then the other part that I thought sucked was, first of all, so you're in a bar, upstairs is the office, and there's a dead body there, okay, whatever, you're figuring this out. You go on the fire escape, and you go into the other window, and the other window is to a torture room?
Oh, yeah.
Why does this exist?
Well, I mean, obviously you're kind of dealing with some mob shenanigans here, you know?
But it turns out you're not.
Well, I mean, I think that was probably what I was trying to imply.
Yeah, but it's
dealing some nasty characters who are trying to frame you up.
Where does that chair come from?
It looks like an electric chair.
Yeah, it looks like an electric chair. So I got to that part and I was like, okay, so there's some pill containers here and they can take one. So I took one. I get that. And then I left the room and I was like, okay, whatever. I keep going on my business. Eventually I get stuck and it's like, I'm trying to use this medicine because I need to get my memory back and you need capsules. So where the fuck are the capsules? So I'm looking all around, spend like 20 minutes trying to find out where these capsules are. Eventually just have to go to a walkthrough because you can open waste containers.
Yeah.
It's not just enough to examine a waste basket.
Yeah.
You have to actually open the wastebasket in order to get at what's inside of it.
Yeah.
It was super annoying.
I thought that was kind of obvious.
So, come on,
like,
really?
You're a shitty investigator.
Do you love this because you are an investigator?
We don't need to talk about my professional life all too much here, but it does, because it does fall in my professional wheelhouse, I do have a little bit of a soft spot for it. But you know they're syringes in every other version, not capsules?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The NES version had to change it?
Yeah. So I also own the Famicom.
That makes a lot more sense because there's like needle marks in his arms.
Yeah, and that's why you have like unlimited uses of the capsules.
They didn't change the...
Yeah, no.
Because at the very beginning, it's like you wake up and there's like blood coming from your arm. Like you got stabbed. Not that you took a capsule.
There's a lot of, not to get like too sidetracked in this, but like I said, I own the Famicom version of this too.
Oh, you do?
And there's, because it's like dirt cheap. You can buy it for like $2.
I'm sure.
But there's like odd, like little, not odd.
That's got to be a good learned Japanese game.
It is.
Because it's very simple.
It's good. And it's like, again, like they can't display kanji. And so it's, But anyway, so like little things that are censored, like unlike the start screen for the Nintendo one, it's like, I think it's like a gun and then like some coins, but like that are on like the start screen.
Yeah.
And then on the Famicom, the intro screen, it's a gun and like a glass of whiskey.
And also, I would imagine at the bar, it's not seltzer, it's whiskey.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. And then the guy who's dead, there's actually like a puddle of blood under him in the Famicom version. They took that out.
So dumb. And there's so many dumb things about Nintendo in that era.
And then at the end, when you shoot the alligator at the end of the game... In the NES version, it's black blood, but in the Famicom version, it's like bright red blood.
That's funny. That is funny. I ran into that alligator way quicker than the end of the game.
Yeah, that can happen to you sometimes.
There's an alligator in the sewers for some reason. But yeah, so you have to find things, figure things out. You eventually find out that you were drugged, and you were giving a drug that makes you lose your memory.
Mm-hmm.
After somebody tried to frame you for the murder of Joe Siegel, who is your friend, the owner of the bar. And can you explain the story? do you know? Because the game does not do a very good job of explaining the story.
Yeah, no, it's pretty much just like you have been... Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's a little convoluted for something that should be so simple. It's like you have been... you're essentially like you're trying to, you know, get out of this frame-up job that you've had for like the murder of this guy. And, you know, I think even like, I feel like you kind of like, you identify some people that are involved in this scheme, but like in the end, like you don't really like lead to their arrest. You pretty much just clear yourself.
So Martha Vickers is, Joe Siegel's, secretary.
Right. Yeah.
She is having an affair with John Sternwood, who's a rich guy. And you end up finding out that they put Mrs. Sternwood in the trunk gagged. She's alive.
Yep.
She's a 400-pound tub of lard, is what they say in the game. Which is terrible. She's like, they keep saying, oh, this woman's like big. And then they like say, this woman's fucking fat. It's like horrible.
Product of its time.
Yeah. So I don't understand why they wanted to kill Joe Siegel. It doesn't make a lot of sense. And there's also this woman named Sugar Shack who wants to kill you. She's a prostitute that just got out of prison.
Yeah,
and you have to sock her in the face.
Yeah,
the best is when you punch somebody, it says socko.
Yeah, that's, you can pretty much punch all your problems away in this game.
And then when you shoot somebody, it says blammo.
Yeah, and then you immediately go to jail for murder, and the game's over.
Yeah, can you shoot anybody?
Yep,
you can shoot people. Who can you shoot?
The muggers. You can shoot.
No, but I mean, can you shoot anybody without going to jail?
Oh, no, I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so either. You can punch a lot of people, but there's like a big strong mugger. There's two muggers. There's one mugger whoever he keeps coming up to you and is, you just keep punching him in the face.
He's getting black eyes.
Yeah. But then there's another mugger who just will be like, if you try to punch him, he'd be like, oh, yeah, wimp.
Yeah.
And then take all your money.
Yeah.
But yeah.
You can punch a butler though.
You can punch the butler and he is okay. He gets knocked out.
Yeah.
So what else do we have here? I do like how this kind of is more of an open concept. You can go anywhere except the construction site, because then you will immediately die
yes,
for some reason. So you can go anywhere, you can go to all these different streets as long as you have the money to get there, because you can get in a cab without money and then get taken away in jail for leaving the cab without paying.
Yeah, yeah.
But you can go anywhere, you can do anything. It's often intuitive. Sometimes it's not that intuitive, but it's often intuitive for an NES game. I think it does a really good job of being intuitive for an NES game.
Sure, yeah.
Not for like a modern game.
But, yeah.
The one area that I had the most difficulty with, and we're at that point where I can talk about the ending for this game. So,
I'm going to guess this is when you're in the sewers?
No, even before that.
Okay.
How are you supposed to know that you're supposed to go to the police station to finish the game?
Oh, yeah, I guess I had a sense that like you were supposed to do that because like I had went to the police station early at one of my playthroughs. And, right.
But they're still like they're like you didn't have enough evidence and you didn't clear your name.
Yeah, well then they figured it was like, okay, like this is probably where I have to, after I have done X amount of things, I'm probably supposed to go here, and that triggers the end of the game.
Okay.
So that was like just based on like the dialogue. That's how I kind of, but I mean like
it's hard to understand that. They give you breadcrumbs to go to every different location. Yeah. Like you if you search everywhere, you find addresses and you just naturally go there and you search everything and it leads you around, but there's no point that says, hey, maybe we should go to the police with this evidence, which is difficult for me from when I was playing it to find out what the ending was.
So did you clear your name in the end?
So listen. So then you go to the police station, and if you have everything in your inventory that you've played through this whole game with, you don't clear your name.
Right.
You get like a 10-year sentence.
Right.
You don't get the death sentence, but you don't, because right. there's different endings. But okay, so then I was like, okay, so what the fuck do I have to do? So I went to a walkthrough and I looked up what I had to do. And it said you have to go into the sewers and go all the way down the sewers and drop everything that you don't need.
Right.
So I was like, all right, I'll do that. So I tried to do it. And I dropped everything that I don't need. And I made sure that I had these things, because there's pieces of evidence that spell out. There's one particular piece of evidence that gives a timeline
with everything
that these people did to set you up. So that's like the one thing you should need. But you need to like four different things. And then you go into the sewer and you drop everything. And then I went to the police station after I dropped everything. I still didn't have enough evidence to clear my name.
Really?
Yeah. And so I went to another walkthrough. I went to a different
walkthrough. Were you missing an item along the way?
So I thought it was. So I went and I picked up another one that this walkthrough told me to get. And I was like, all right, we'll take this. And I went to the police station. Still didn't clear my name. And I was like, this walkthrough is lying to me. So it was like, some of them were saying that I could take bullets with me. Some of them were saying that I could not, didn't have to drop medicine, or I had to drop this and this. Some of them were saying you need this, and this evidence. And I was looking at different walkthroughs, and everyone had a different guide.
Right.
So I tried the five different permutations, and I could never get the good ending.
I think you basically just got to drop everything that it allows you to drop.
I did.
And yeah, he's,
and I had the memo. I had letter one, letter two, and there was something else. And I still could not get the good ending.
Oh, I forget what it is. I think there must be a step that you missed along the way.
It must have been.
Yeah, I forget what it is.
I was even looking. I looked at the instruction manual to see in the instruction manual if it says like you need something or to go to the police station at the end when you finished it. Does not say anything about that. So it's. It's tough. Also, the fact that I wasn't using a walkthrough for like 90% of this game, I picked up everything. So when I went to the sewers and I dropped everything, yeah, it took like an hour.
Five pages of shit to drop.
So I had like a sausage, flour, 15 different types of medicine, because right. I was anticipating using all those medicines
that's
in the game.
Yeah.
And that's, then that's like the very end when you get your memory back.
I do like that like there's so many like useless items in the game that like it kind of creates like a sense of misdirection, which, you know, I think is... It might be a bit too much misdirection, but yes. But I appreciate that like there are some things there that, like, because you pick up stuff like I think you're just trained by video games to go.
There's also like things where you have to open one thing and then open another thing.
You can combine them and stuff.
Yeah, and it gets like convoluted sometimes. Like for example, the first thing you get is the coat. In the coat is a wallet, so you have to open the coat to get to the wallet, and then you have to open the wallet to get inside that. And there's like layers and layers of things to get into, and it makes it hard. And then there were even things like, at the end, there's a candy box. You have to open the candy box, because I was like, oh, it's a box, so you obviously have to open it. And there's a piece of candy in it, and I was like, what the fuck do I do with this piece of candy? So I used it on myself, and he's like, oh, I hate candy. I'm like, god damn it.
Oh, wait, did you, getting back to like you getting the the bad ending. I think you have to burn something with the lighter.
No, I didn't burn anything.
Yeah, you're supposed to burn something with the lighter towards the end. I think it's like one of the letters or something like that. I forget what it is, but you're supposed to burn. There's something you're supposed to burn with the lighter, and that's
funny because it doesn't let you drop the lighter, and I never used it. And yeah. I was like, oh,
I forget what it is.
That probably makes sense.
It's been a while since I played it, but because I didn't replay it for this, but yeah, you got to burn something with the lighter.
Yeah, god damn it. I tried so hard, and then I was like, I'm not doing this anymore. This is like the 15th time. Because yeah. What I do is I saved right as I was going to the sewer with all of the items.
Yeah.
So every time I went there, I had to drop every single item that I had.
Yeah.
So it was just it was a pain in the balls. It was a serious pain in the balls. But yes, so what else do we have here? They made a sequel to this game, Deja Vu 2, Lost in Las Vegas. Never came out on the NES, never ported.
Ace Harding has a lot of problems with his memory and being framed up for things.
I guess this, it was a MacVenture game, but it was the only MacVenture game that wasn't ported to the NES for some reason.
Until it came out until we got the Game Boy.
Oh, yeah, Game Boy Color it was ported to. In total, by 2003, there were 2 million copies of the MacVenture series sold. That's a lot of copies of games. I also, random aside, because Shadowgate is part of the MacVenture series, they made a Shadowgate 64.
Did they?
Yes.
I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, so that might be a game to look at eventually.
Is it a point-and-click one, too?
I think it's an adventure game. I don't think it's a point-and-click. It's like 3D, and you move into space.
Oh, great.
And you look for things, and it's like, explore.
I'm sure that's a doozy.
I'm sure it's a piece of shit, but... yes. So, let's find out where this goes on our endless list of games.
I guess, did you like the game overall?
I am solidly not... I don't think I enjoyed it, and I don't think I did not enjoy it.
Yeah, I don't think it's...
It was a game.
I don't think it's great. I think it's good.
I will say, so this is our 11th game we're adding... to the list, the endless list, our 11th NES game that we're adding to the endless list.
Well, you can always say it's an Apple game.
Yeah, it's our first Apple game, I guess, we're adding to the list. It came out in 1985, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
What did I say?
1985, then it came out to the NES in 1985. It was 1985 for the Apple version, and then the NES Famicom ports were 1990.
Yes, so it's our second game from 1985 added to this list.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is Paperboy. What else do we have for factoids? So our first point-and-click game that we added to the list. So where does it go, Chris? Where does it go? I will say this. I'm looking at this list, and... I would not put... just as NES games, just looking at the NES games on our list, I would not put this higher than Ninja Gaiden.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm with you. So one thing I've noticed we tend to do in these podcasts
yes.
is that when we're talking about like where we're going to put games on the list, we don't actually say what the number is for that game. So Ninja Gaiden is...
24.
Yeah, it's 24 out of 40 games currently.
And you can also find this list. It'll be in the podcast description. There will be a link there. It's on our Medium page, the It's So Bad Medium page, but there's a link in the podcast description for the complete endless list. It goes from 1 to 40, as I said at the top of the episode, and we just mentioned it's probably not higher than number 24 Ninja Gaiden, but also I don't like it personally. Okay. I don't like it as much as Paperboy, which is at number 35, but at the same time, I realize that it is a pretty cool game on the NES. It is, I think the interface is cool, and I think it's probably for when it came out in 1985 on the Macintosh, it was probably very innovative.
Yeah, I think I liked the game, but I think, I think looking at this list and the games that are ahead of Paperboy,
I could see it going higher than Night Trap personally, because I think it's probably a more interesting game and a better game than Night Trap, but
Night Trap's got a legacy.
Yeah, Night Trap has a huge legacy in terms of like the ratings board and everything else. And also it has a tremendous song.
I think I'm
the best song on this list. although
I will say the music in Deja Vu, like that theme, that the main theme, I like that theme a lot.
The King Dice song in And Cuphead is also good. Do you hate Cuphead?
I don't hate Cuphead. It's just, it was just very controversial to be to be shoehorned into this list.
Well, it's it's now 2 years old, so.
But I think I was actually thinking kind of along the lines of you that I think it's kind of like in the Paperboy area.
Okay.
I think Pro Wrestling, the NES Pro Wrestling game, is a better game than Deja Vu. And I think it kind of has like, I think with Pro Wrestling, you know, essentially led to like the creation of like Fire Pro Wrestling and stuff like that. I think, I just think there's more of a legacy there.
Yeah. So. And plus like every wrestling game up until like the 3D era copied Pro Wrestling.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
like even so. Like Raw and all those games, they had the same basic format, right?
Yeah. And it's, I mean, Pro Wrestling is pretty much the best, in my opinion, it's probably the best wrestling game on the NES besides maybe like Tecmo World Wrestling.
Yeah. But, maybe I greatly enjoy WrestleMania Challenge. WrestleMania, WrestleMania Challenge.
So I think Deja Vu should be, yeah, either way.
But, Jim Duggan, he's got the 3-point stance. It's great.
The only, that and like the warrior tossing people, like that game is the only good thing. That game sucks. I think it's either 35 or 34. I think it's the, I think it's like the new 35, I think.
You want to put it at 35?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll move Paperboy down to 36, and we have our new number 35, Deja Vu for the NES. I like it. I'm okay. I'm okay with that. They're, Paperboy and this are similar. I think that Deja Vu was a much more innovative game for its time. I think that Paperboy is very fun, but I think that also super interesting what they were doing with Deja Vu, especially with the NES port and with the Macintosh stuff. Interesting.
Yeah, so, deeper game, you know.
Yeah, definitely a deeper game. So it has somewhat of a, it has a story. It's just kind of convoluted.
Yeah, it's,
But it has a story. It has a, more of a story than like 90% of the NES games that you'll find.
Yeah, well, you know, Paperboy's got a story, you know.
Paperboy delivers.
You do a shitty job, deliver your papers, you get fired. It's front page news.
Yeah, well, and then if you don't, he says Paperboy delivers.
Yep.
But yes, our new number 35, Deja Vu. Thank you so much, Chris, for joining us on the podcast.
Hey, no problem. Maybe I'll see you soon.
You Who knows?
Maybe we're going to record another episode right now.
We could be.
Who knows?
You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify. You can also follow us on the Twitter at It's So Bad Pod. You can email us itssobadpod@gmail.com. And of course, we will be back. Officially, we'll be back next week.
Officially.
No days off. Mr. No Days Off.
That's right.
This podcast.
That's right.
From the for going forward, for at least the next 4 weeks, we hope. But yes, we will be back next week, and I will tell you what we'll be doing.
What are we going to be doing, Mike?
We'll be talking about some monsters.
Oh, shit.
Rampaging.
Oh, shit.
Around a city.
Dwayne the Rock Johnson.
Hell yeah. Did you watch that movie?
Yeah, I didn't really like it.
Okay. Well, next week is Rampage. We'll be back. This is It's So Bad.